Hello and welcome. You are listening to podcast 3 for the lecture on knowledge representation. We resume on slide 48. Our topic is non-monotonic reasoning. CAT or first order logic, our reasoning is monotonic. Once we have proved that something is true, then it is true forever. Slide 49 summarizes this property, but also discusses where we actually do not well meet reality. Let's look at this example. So if the wallet is in the purse and the purse is in the car, we can conclude that the wallet is in the car. But what if we take the purse out of the car? Where's the wallet? So of course for us it's very natural that the wallet moves with the purse, but it's not so easy to derive this type of reasoning in a logism. So it means that we need to find a solution how we can revise knowledge bases in the light of new information. Some new facts become true, but this also means that we need to retract other facts because they are no longer true. And we also want to be able to deal with exceptions. So let's look at some related problems and also some classical examples that were studied by AI and how we can move towards a solution. Slide 50 summarizes fundamental challenges that were very early on discovered in AI history and discussed for many decades. So for example, we have the qualification. We cannot describe all exceptions that will, for example, make an action impossible. Let's think about a robot that wants to follow us. Introductory lecture on intelligent agents, we saw some videos of the Pepper robot. And so let's look at this robot. So this has some simple mechanism to follow us, but it can follow us, for example, if it has detected, if its batteries are non-empty, the vision system must work, the ground must be very stable for the robot, it cannot be slippy, and we all should also not be too fast for it. So this specifying all these exceptions isn't feasible. So there are so many reasons why something can go wrong, and this is not possible to really enumerate this explicitly. Then AI has studied the so-called frame problem. In the frame problem, the frame problem tells us that we cannot explicitly specify what does not change when an action is executed. So here the problem is really that we, of course, in an action representation often tell as an effect what the action changes, but of course a lot of things in the world remain stable and unchanged. So how can we actually conclude that certain things do not change? For example, when the Pepper robot answers a question, then of course we will get some answer, but the furniture in the room where the robot is located will stay in place. The robot itself will not move outside a certain range. It will not lose any information from its knowledge base and so on. Finally, there's the so-called ramification problem. The question is here how to represent what happens implicitly due to an action. So when, for example, a robot grasps a box and begins to move, then this box will move with the robot. All objects inside the box will move with the robot. But if the big box that the robot grabbed contains a small box, and in the inside, or on top of the small box, we had some beads that were placed on this little box, then these beads in the little box will definitely fall inside the big box, because the robot cannot hold the big box so stable that the objects will not move. On the other hand, objects in the little box inside the big box will not fall outside of the little box and into the big box. Unless, for example, the robot would make a very, very strong shake of this big box. So you see that it's actually quite complicated to really specify what happens when agents execute actions. So let's look at slide 51. So the frame problem is the most famous problem of these that we briefly discussed in AI. It has kept researchers busy for decades. And the big question was, if we cannot enumerate explicitly what does not change as the result of an action, can we somehow solve this problem more elegantly? And one possible solution is to describe the successor situation in a more general way. And we identify so-called inertia, things that do not change unless otherwise specified. So we can say that everything is true after execution of an action, if and only if the action made it true, or it is already true before the action and the action did not falsify it. This also leads us to another important assumption taken by many AI systems, the so-called closed world assumption. Only the agent changes the situation. Anything that is not mentioned as being changed remains unchanged. So this means that the world is stable. And this is also where the name comes from, the frame problem. So there is in fact a stable frame in everything we do. Certain things change, but everything else is staying stable. Humans, of course, based on their experience, have usually no problem to understand what remains stable or what will change due to the execution of an action. But for AI systems, this is of course a huge challenge. Furthermore, assuming the closed world or making the closed world assumption is not really a good idea in the real world. Just think of an autonomous car that is driving around. I mean, of course, an autonomous car is moving in the world, but the world also changes by the actions of other agents. So here we actually see that solutions to the frame problem and other problems, as soon as we take AI systems out of the lab and into the real world, become much more tricky. And in particular, in mathematical logic, we really hit some fundamental borders where we actually cannot come up with a perfect solution. So today, of course, AI methods try to resolve this problem by making some statistical assumptions, but we all know that statistical statements are only valid over large sets of individuals. They do not allow anybody to make a specific conclusion or statement about a specific individual. So if a car can usually assume that when it brakes, then all the cars in front of it will brake when everybody sees a red traffic light, we all know that there can be some exceptions to the situation where, for example, one driver did not pay enough attention. So let's look a little bit into the history of non-monotonic logic. I summarized some milestones on slide 52. So these problems were really studied very heavily in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. This was a high time for logic-based knowledge representation formalisms. And people really tried to deal with non-monotonic reasoning inside the standard predicate logic, for example. A first solution was developed at the end of the 70s by John McCarthy. It was called circumscription. Later, this was generalized to something that was called preferential entailment towards the end of the 80s. And then actually in the 80s, we saw some specific logics such as default logic or auto-epistemic logic. Finally, this led to a very interesting development towards the end of the 90s, so-called answer set programming. And today, answer set programming appears to me as one of the most practical approaches to deal with non-monotonic reasoning. So unfortunately, we do not have to go deeper here, but if whenever you encounter some needs to deal with non-monotonic reasoning problems, then I strongly suggest that you look into the developments in this field of answer set programming or ASP. Let's look a little bit into the problem of belief revision. So belief revision describes the process of when we are changing our beliefs, so the true facts that we have in our knowledge base in the light of a new piece of information. To understand what belief revision and non-monotonic reasoning means, consider a very famous example from the AI history. So in the history, people often looked at the Tweety problem. So we know that all birds fly, or nearly all birds, and we also know that Tweety is a bird. So does Tweety fly? So the obvious answer is yes. But of course, if we, for example, later learned that Tweety had a broken wing, then the answer becomes no. If we learned that Tweety is an ostrich, then the answer is also no. So also it is a bird, and usually birds fly, then Tweety would not fly. And of course, here we see all the problems that we encountered. If the statement all birds fly is, of course, a simplification of the reality, which then leads to quite some problems. Furthermore, now if we also have in our knowledge base, like we have the information that Tweety is a bird, but what if it turns out that Tweety is not a bird? So this, we assumed this because we heard this name very often, and it's usually a name for birds in AI examples, but now suddenly we learn that Tweety is a human airplane pilot, and the information of it as a bird was wrong. So, but does Tweety now fly? Yes, Tweety, also it is not a bird, is of course flying, but with an airplane. So you see that actually we encounter quite a lot of problems when new information comes in and we need to retract old beliefs and somehow arrive at a changed, consistent knowledge base. Slide 54 introduces inheritance diagrams. They were used to illustrate problems with non-monotonic reasoning and with exceptions. So we have here the double arrow that describes normal facts and subsumption or instantiation relations. So we know that ostriches are birds, Fred is an ostrich, and Tweety is a bird. And we know that actually birds usually are flying things, which is the default, but ostriches are not flying things. So here we have an exception depicted. Now, the big question is, with this we can actually say that Tweety as a bird would fly and Fred as an ostrich would not fly. Of course, if we then later change the information that Tweety is not only a bird, but is also an ostrich, then we can actually retract our conclusion that Tweety flies to the non-default reasoning, where we actually see that Tweety is now not flying because it's an ostrich. So these kinds of representation are useful, but they don't really solve all problems. And of course, we need to replace this by much more sophisticated formalisms. Here you also see that the double arrow is used to depict concept subsumption, but it also shows the ABOX instantiation, where we tell that specific individuals are parts of or instances of certain concepts. And of course, this also was cleaned up with description logics. The limitations of inheritance diagrams become obvious when we look at the famous Nixon diamond. So we know that usually Quakers are pacifist. We also know that Republicans are not pacifists, usually. So we actually use this here to state the default and the non-default exception relationship. So we say that Quakers are usually pacifists and Republicans are usually not pacifists. Now we know that Richard Nixon is both a Quaker and a Republican. Can we tell now that he is a pacifist? Well, we don't really know. We have here these default assumptions, but we actually get mutually inconsistent conclusions when we instantiate two different concepts with different inheritance relationships that contradict each other with the same individual. So here we cannot actually decide about the properties of Nixon. Let's look at another example on slide 56. The question is here, how many legs does a pet have? Let's look at the following statements that we have in our knowledge base. First, we know that pet is a bat. We also know that bats are mammals. We also know that bats can fly. Bats have two legs. We have the statements mammals cannot fly. And we also have the statement that mammals have four legs. So now we are not able to conclude how many legs a bat has. Because as a bat, it has two legs. But with the subsumption relationship that bats are mammals, it also inherits the property that it has four legs. So now we have here really, again, inconsistent information across the subsumption hierarchy. Of course, we all see where the problems come from. It's the very general statements that we say all mammals have four legs, and we also say that all mammals cannot fly. In the first case, so I'm personally not aware of any flying mammal, yeah. And so this is okay, but with the legs, of course, we have one very famous exception, for example, humans. So here you see really the limits of logical reasoning and where we need different formalisms to deal with this. With these examples, let me end this podcast. We will not see detailed solutions to all these non-monotonic reasoning problems in this lecture, but I wanted to make you aware of practical limitations and challenging problems for which we do not have perfect solutions. So there's still a lot of need to actually deal with all these questions, and we cannot consider them as solved. Also, we have seen many decades of AI research. So on the other hand, this is a good situation, but because it also allows you, if you're interested in entering into these fields, to work on these problems and make further contributions. So with this, let me now end this podcast.